Let us turn again to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse 41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. I'd like to especially look at the words in verse 41. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Here we have a meeting of two expectant mothers. And as is common and as is usual, there is much talk between them about the children they are expecting. But what is not common and what is not usual is the way that Elizabeth speaks about the unborn children. Because we would usually expect Elizabeth to speak all about her own child and to tell about all her experiences as an expectant mother and all her hopes for her own unborn child. But instead, we find her wholly taken up, completely taken up with the child that is in another woman's womb, the child in Mary's womb. Something very unusual and unique about this situation. And it is, as explained here in verse 41, the fruit of the Spirit. It is one of the evidences of the work of the Holy Spirit in her life. We'd like to look this morning at the fruits of the Spirit, the results of this filling of the Spirit in Elizabeth. But before we do so, I'd like to just briefly highlight the work of the Spirit in Mary's life and John's life, because the Holy Spirit is very much at work in this whole situation. If you look first of all at Mary, very briefly, the fruit of the Spirit that we see in her life is the desire for fellowship. Here in verses up to verse 38, Mary is told not only about the birth of her own child, but also her cousin Elizabeth expecting a child in her old age. And we read in verse 38, the angel departed from her, that is Mary. And what does Mary do? Mary arose and went into the hill country with haste. Now, this is very unusual. Here is Mary expecting. Here is Mary going into the hill country. And here she's going in haste. Instead of resting up and taking care of herself, here she has this urge, this longing to go and to be with her cousin Elizabeth, a fellow believer. And so we read here, she rushes. There's an urgency. There is a passion to be with Mary and to be with Elizabeth and to talk with her and to share with her of all that God was doing in their lives. And so here she sacrifices her comfort and she heads out into the wilderness towards the city of Judah. She knew that fellowship was what she needed. It's one thing, as we're told in the Old Testament, to fear the Lord. But what are we told? They that feared the Lord spake often one with another. And this is what she's doing here. She is a God-fearer. So is Elizabeth. But they want to speak one with another. All ye that fear God, come here. I'll tell what he's done for my soul. This was the sentiment that spurred on Mary to go and seek this refreshing fellowship with her cousin Elizabeth. And here is it not one of the great fruits of the Holy Spirit in a Christian's life? A desire for fellowship. Desire to be with fellow God-fearers. And a desire to share what God has done in our lives. If that is in your own life, believer, be encouraged. If you have that desire, that longing, to speak with fellow God-fearers of God's work in you, here is a fruit of the Spirit. It is not a fruit of nature. This is not normal. But then secondly, and again very briefly, we can look at the fruit of the Spirit in John's life. You see, how can we look at the fruit of the Spirit in John's life? He is 6 months old in the womb. He's not even drawn a breath in this world. 3 months before he does so. How can we speak of the fruit of the Spirit in John's life? Well, the Bible encourages us to do so. And the fruit of the Spirit that we'd like to highlight here is joy. Where do we get that from? Well, we read here in verse 41, when Elizabeth heard Mary's salutation, the babe leaped in her womb. Okay, there's babe leap, but where's joy? How can you say that was joy? Well, we say it on the basis of verse 44. Because what Elizabeth says here is, lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Here is Elizabeth, inspired by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, and able to interpret infallibly even the movements of this baby in her womb. She detects a leap. No doubt she'd detected many movements of this baby in her womb. But she shown that this was a unique and an unusual movement. It was a leap. More than just a repositioning. And it was such a leap that Elizabeth was persuaded and taught of God that it was indeed a leap of joy. A leap of joy. As soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Now we believe, on the basis of Scripture, that John the Baptist was a Nazarite from the womb. That he was filled with the Spirit. That he was regenerate from the womb. And it is possible that this was the moment of his womb regeneration. The moment he was born again of the Spirit. Here we have the Saviour present in Mary. And as soon as Mary speaks, it seems to send forth a quickening into the womb of Elizabeth. It seems to bring a life into Elizabeth's soul that wasn't there before. A life that she detects as a, as a leap of celebration. Here in the midst of Christ and the Holy Spirit, there seems to be a coming together in the womb of Mary, of Elizabeth. And here, perhaps here, maybe before, but perhaps here is the beginning of spiritual life in this unborn child. The moment he passes from death to life. What a glorious moment. No wonder there was a leaping. Here, before John was even born, was a recognition that this was the one in whose presence he was that would secure eternal life for him. These are great mysteries. Here was John, the one who would eventually point with his finger and say, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the one who eventually would, with his hands, baptize the Son of God and be one of the means God used to manifest him to the world. "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And here, before being called to these great public ministries, here there is a private ministry. Here, even separated by two womb walls, his own mother's and Elizabeth's, there is this desire to point towards, to recognize here in his presence was one who was everything to him. The babe leaped for joy. And if a babe unborn can experience this fruit of the Spirit, how much more then should you and I, with far greater understanding, far greater experience of the Lord's mercies and goodness to us, surely in the life of the Christian there is this fruit of joy. Whenever we detect the Lord's presence, whenever we detect the Lord near, does that not twang the heartstring of joy in your soul? Does that not create a leaping within? And how we long for more of these leaps, do we not? But we'd like to focus this morning on the fruit of the Spirit in Elizabeth. And the first fruit we'd like to notice is the fruit of witness. The fruit of witness. When Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, what was the first thing she did? Verse 42. She spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Here, when the Spirit fills her, there is a public and clear acknowledgement of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is what inevitably and automatically and instantaneously and instinctively comes out of her soul. When the Spirit is within, Jesus is on our lips and cannot but be spoken to any and all who will hear. There's no restraining her. There's no holding her back. Here there is a loud voice. Surely then, Christian, there is an example here for you to follow. And do we not know this ourselves? When we do know the filling of the Spirit, we have a desire to tell. It is instinctive. It is automatic. It is unrestrainable. When given opportunity, to acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ. If the Spirit is within, then Christ will be on our lips. But the second fruit of the Spirit is knowledge. She seems to be given a very special spiritual insight. We're told in Psalm 25 that the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. And Elizabeth seems to have been given access to some of the secrets of the Lord. Here, when Mary comes, we're not told of, and there doesn't seem to be any hint of, a conversation between Elizabeth and Mary. We have here, Mary enters. Mary salutes. Elizabeth hears the salutation and immediately is filled with the Spirit and speaks forth, verses 42 and following. There's no communication. There's no conversation. Mary doesn't come and tell her everything that's happened to her and with her in the previous weeks, or even maybe just days. And yet, Elizabeth knows. Elizabeth has an understanding. She has a knowledge that could have only come from the secret place of the Lord. What does she know that she couldn't have known apart from the Lord's revelation to her? Well, she knew about the Messiah's conception in Mary's womb. She knew about Mary's role in the Messiah's conception, that she was the mother of his human nature and the mother's side. Here we read, for example, "Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" These, you know, are astonishing words for a Jew to utter. We are so familiar with the idea of a virgin birth. But this was so new to them. This was unheard of, apart from the prophecy in Isaiah. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive." And here, when Mary comes, Elizabeth looks at her and says, "Mary, the mother of God." Who taught her that? And she not only sees the Messiah, and she sees Mary's role in the Messiah's coming into this world, but she also sees Mary's faith. When Mary was told in the earlier verses here about all that was going to happen to her, she believed. How did Elizabeth know this? Did Elizabeth know this? Yes, she did. Because notice in verse 45, Elizabeth says, "And blessed is she that believed." Here Elizabeth seems to have been given access to what went on in Mary's soul when the angel told her about the coming birth of the Messiah. And so Elizabeth is given this remarkable, this supernatural knowledge directly from God about the Messiah, his birth, Mary's role, and Mary's faith. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And there is a knowledge, we call it a saving knowledge, that only those who fear God know anything about. There can be a growing up in the church, and there can be an acquiring of doctrines and a knowledge of the Bible, but that's not the secret of the Lord. That's not saving knowledge. There is something that happens when the Holy Spirit comes into a soul that transforms that knowledge, that gives it another dimension, another reality, a depth and an impact. And as the Christian goes on in life, the Lord continues to share his secrets with them, giving spiritual instincts, spiritual discernment, spiritual insight, spiritual knowledge that the Christian knows is not from them naturally, but could only have been given them by the work of the Spirit within. And it is surely one of the great helps to the Christian when they find, maybe in reading the Word or hearing the Word, a truth that is so blessed to them that they know, they've read it 100 times, but God gives a help of the Spirit, the insight of the Spirit, and blesses that knowledge in a new way. Or perhaps a providence, something happens in their life and they get a sense, an awareness of God's involvement in their lives. God showing them things, directing them in ways that they would never have expected or desired themselves. And again, they know this is the fruit of God's work in my life. Maybe it doesn't happen often, but sufficiently to encourage, the Spirit is at work in my soul. Fruit of the Spirit, knowledge. The third fruit of the Spirit here is love. Love. The reaction of Elizabeth to Mary is one of pure and holy love. As soon as she sees her, she says, "Blessed art thou. Blessed art thou among women." Here, this Christian love, this fruit of the Spirit, pours out of her. And she loves her as a sister in the Lord. Blessed art thou among women. Here she looks on her with that special, spiritual, intimate, Christian, Christ-centered love. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. The love she has is expressed in this desire that she be blessed, as well as the recognition that she is blessed. And the love is manifested in tracing her blessing to the Lord who is within her. That's what makes it easy to love other Christians, isn't it? That's what makes it easy for us to desire blessing for other Christians, when we see the Lord being formed in them. And the more we see of this, the easier it is for us to love them. And this is what here Elizabeth sees so clearly. Given insight of the Spirit, she sees Christ being formed within Mary. She sees Mary as so blessed. There's no envy. There's no jealousy. There's no bitterness. She looks at her and says, "Blessed. You are highly favoured." The angel had told her that. "Blessed art thou among women." And later on in Luke 11, another would say, "Blessed art thou among women." Notice here, it's not "blessed art thou above women." That would lead her to have a too exalted position, and many have given her that. It's "blessed art thou among women." She remains among, not above, among women. In the same rank as women. But blessed among that rank and that status. And appear in Elizabeth, there is this ecstatic joy that God has favoured her, that God is blessing her, and God is doing good to her. And all Elizabeth can do is put her amen to it and long for more of it for her. Is this not the fruit of the Spirit? Do you have that in your heart, Christian? Yes, you can see many dark things. You can see many evil things. But can you not find within this ability, this God-given ability to rejoice when you see another being spiritually blessed? What rejoices your heart, Christian, but to see a Christian growing? To see a Christian that God is evidently at work in. Maybe someone you had some doubts about, some question marks over. You wondered, is God really work there? There are puzzles, there are inconsistencies. But then, as time passes, you begin to see a stabilizing. You begin to see a steadiness. You begin to see a consistency. You begin to see an endurance and a perseverance. Despite setbacks and difficulties, you begin to see a separating from the world. You begin to see a longing after godliness. You begin to see that all that matters to that person is the Lord and their soul. And so you begin to rejoice. You begin to rejoice in how God is blessing them. And you begin to say, "Blessed be thou. And blessed be the God who is at work in your life." Is this not the fruit of the Spirit? Envy isn't there. Bitterness isn't there. Gladness and joy is there. The fruit of the Spirit, love. Then we see another fruit of the Spirit is humility. Humility. There was a huge gulf in the social status of these two women. Elizabeth was aged. Mary was young. Elizabeth was long married. Mary was an unmarried mother. Elizabeth was the wife of the high priest. Mary was married to a carpenter, which in these days was like the role of a fisherman considered lowly. And so here we have in this society the low and the high. You might say the two opposite extremes in society. And so you would expect here Mary to be in the submissive, humble role, and Elizabeth standing above, looking down. Oh, young one. Oh, unmarried mother. Oh, poor, poverty-struck Mary. That's what we'd expect. That would be what nature would dictate. Elizabeth the grand and Mary the meek. But what do we find? We find Elizabeth the meek. We find Elizabeth here, despite her age, despite her marital status, despite her social status, here, submitting herself under Mary. How do you see that? Well, notice this in verse 43. She says, "And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" You see the humility in that? She's saying, "Who am I?" She's looking at Mary with all her privilege and blessing. And instead of being jealous and bitter and trying to put her down, she instead falls in her soul and says, "I am honoured. I am privileged. I am blessed that this young, unmarried, poverty-struck mother should come to me. What gladness and joy there is in Mary's being picked out, this lowly handmaiden, and being exalted. And Elizabeth finds it easy to come down in her soul and to acknowledge her unworthiness, her unfitness. What is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? I am honoured, privileged and blessed. There's an acknowledgement here of her demerit. Do we not, surely, Christian, find this in our own souls? Whenever we are blessed, whenever the Lord comes to us, whenever we do sense God's nearness, do we not express ourselves in these ways similarly? What is this to me? I deserve nothing. Whatever we are socially, whatever we've achieved in life or not, surely the true Christian looks on their blessings and God's goodness and his perseverance with them and says, what is this to me? That God should be so good, that God should draw so near as this to me. Humility. And then fifthly here, there is the fruit of praise. The fruit of praise. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Here is an expression of worship towards the Lord. She looks into Mary's womb by faith. What's there? At that time, but a few cells. But a few cells of human nature united to the divine nature. A few cells which she could look at and say, it is the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. What faith, what praise we find here. She blesses these few cells because in them and united to them was God, who is over all blessed forever. She looks at these few cells and sees a few cells greatly blessed by God. And a few cells that would bring great blessing to the whole world. She sees, yes, the seed of Abraham, the seed of the woman, the son of David. But she also sees the one in whom all the families of the earth would be blessed. She sees the one who would bring in an everlasting kingdom that will never be destroyed. And she looks and she worships. Blessed, blessed, blessed be his name. Here is a fruit of the Spirit in the believer's life. The desire to praise God. My closed lips by thee, O Lord, let them be opened. Then shall my mouth with joyful lips thy praise be published. Is that not the instinct of the renewed soul? Previously maybe mouths, hearts that never engaged in worship, and now whenever they see the Lord, it's bless, 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 oh my soul, the Lord my God, and not forgetful be of all his gracious benefits he hath bestowed on me. And then finally here, the fruit of the Spirit, faith. Faith. This may be the greatest expression of faith in the Bible. Is this not a greater expression of faith than even the wise men? At least they had something to look at. Here is a woman looking at another woman. And given faith by the Spirit, looks at this woman's stomach and sees through and sees Christ. Flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Here is the most remarkable and astounding faith. And she looks at Mary and says, blessed is she that believed. She's celebrating faith and expressing faith. And perhaps here, contrasting Mary's faith with her own husband's lack of it. Here, big, high, important, spiritual Zacharias, an unbeliever, falling into cynical doubt when given the promise of a Messiah. And here's little young Mary. She sees Zechariah having been cursed and chastised for his unbelief. And she looks at Mary and says, oh, blessed is she that believed. Zacharias didn't believe the lesser. Mary believed the far greater, harder thing to believe. And here Elizabeth looks and blesses her for faith and joins her faith with her. Faith was the channel through which these blessings came to her and to Zacharias. And is it not true that whenever we see a believer, we say, blessed is she that believed. Whenever we see a new face at the prayer meeting, blessed is he that believed. Whenever we see faith in our own souls, we say, blessed am I that I believe. And we give all the praise and glory, not to flesh and blood, but to our Father which is in heaven, hidden from the wise and prudent, but revealed unto babes like me. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which are told her, were told her from the Lord. Believing, here linked to performing. Faith linked to works. Here, believer, is a fruit of the Spirit. Do you have any of this in your heart? Even a little grain of this faith that can bless God for having that faith, for giving you that faith. Every time you experience and exercise faith, do you trace that blessing, as Elizabeth did here, to God alone. God alone. Not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Blessed is she that believed. That's wonderful to say in this world. But oh, how this will be uttered in the world to come. We can see some of the fruits and effects of faith here. Some of them. And we can see, oh, wonderful, blessed faith. But in the world to come, how much more blessed will we see faith to have been? Oh, blessed is she that believed. There shall be a performance. Oh, friend here today, unbelieving friend, believe, and there shall be a performance of those things which have been spoken. Believe, and you shall be saved. Believe, and you shall be delivered from your sins. Believe, and God will pour the Spirit into your heart and give you an ability to witness, give you knowledge, give you love, give you humility, give you praise, give you faith just like Elizabeth. Believe, and there shall be a performance. Let us pray. O Lord Most High, enable thy dear and beloved children to find the fruit of thy Spirit in their hearts. O, give them that discernment, that self-knowledge, as they examine themselves, in order to give them encouragement and new strength as they seek to live out their lives here in this world. Oh, bless thy people, not just with the marks of grace, but with the ability to see them and be encouraged by thy work within. In Jesus' name.